Morning. If we have any young ones that want to come down to the front for a minute, you're more than welcome to. I know it can. I'm a scary looking guy, so I know that there's not always welcome here. Got a few things here. Let's see if you can recognize what these are. You see these? Do you know what these are? Yeah, it goes on doors, right? So it kind of fits with this. See what that is? It's a doorknob. And I had to take it off mine. My dogs chewed up this end of it. And then stuff stopped working. So I had to replace my doorknob. You know, something that I, before this week, and preparing for the children's sermon, I really took for granted doors. Growing up around doors all my life, I just took for granted doors. Doors are so important, aren't they? You ever think about how important doors are? Like, I never thought about that. Like, can you imagine having a bedroom without a door? Like, you'd be stuck in it. Where would you go? You couldn't get out. Oh, no, maybe not. Oh, or the worst. What's the worst place to not have a door? The bathroom? I didn't want to see any of that business going on, right? Man, terrible. Doors are so important to get out of places. You need doors to get into places. You need doors. Doors are so important, and I never really thought about that. Can you imagine being in this room all together and there's no doors in here? It would be cold. It'd be all kinds of things. What would happen if you're in a room without doors and then a fire broke out? Yeah, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? You need a door in order to escape the fire, wouldn't you? To get out of that room, you would need a door. And we just take those things for granted. Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples and the people, he was talking about not necessarily a door, but he was talking about something called a gate. You guys know what a gate is? It's a way to get in a fence. And for sheep, it's really important to have a gate in the fence that you could get all a fence, a wall, something like that, that at night they would bring all the sheep in, and so they would have to open the gate and bring all the sheep in to keep them safe from the things that are outside at night. And because sheep aren't the smartest, right? Which, I mean, makes sense why God calls us sheep a lot of times. Okay, they're not the smartest. They wander around. So to keep them from wandering off at night and getting into trouble and maybe getting killed, they would bring them in and they would keep them safe. They would keep them safe. But there had to be a gate in order to bring them in. And Jesus actually says, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who enter in will be saved. That he's the way to be safe. To be safe. And just as it is important to have a door in your house so that you can get out, right? And if there's a fire, you can get out of a room. It's important to have a door. It's also important that Jesus is saving us by giving us a way to God. And before that, before Jesus, there wasn't a door. There was no door that we could get into God. And so he provided us the way that we can get in, and he did that through his death and his resurrection so that we could get in. And I'm going to turn it over to Fred to expound on that this morning.
Thank you, brother. I am here to expound. Watch over your Bibles to John chapter 10, if you will, please. John 10. Continuing the series on the I Am series, John chapter 10. I want us to look at verses 7 through 10. John 10, verses 7 through 10. Listen to Jesus. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We are, again, continuing the I Am Statements series of Jesus Christ recorded in the Apostle of John. We began this series with Jesus' statement in John chapter 6, verse 35, where he said that I am the bread of life. You're revealing that only through him can we find true and lasting fulfillment. And then last week we studied the statement of Jesus made at the close of the Feast of Tabernacles in front of the temple when Jesus declared, I am the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. The one who was prophesied to come to lead the world out of darkness and to his marvelous light. And of course today we're talking about that I am the gate for the sheep. But the statement that Jesus, that we studied last week, when he said that I am the light of the world, that statement stirred up the Pharisees who began to challenge Jesus and became so frustrated with his answers that they tried to stone him to death. John 8, verse 59 tells us. And then shortly after declaring that he is the light of the world and that whoever followed him will never walk in darkness, Jesus comes across in John chapter 9, comes across a man who had been born blind. And all this at this time, all that this man knew was just simply physical darkness his entire life. And then Jesus, declaring once again that he is the light of the world, spits in the ground and makes some mud out of his saliva, puts it on the man's eyes, and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And after doing exactly what Jesus commanded, the man is able to see. And his neighbors and his parents and everyone who knew him were just amazed that this man had received his sight. And this raised such a commotion that the Pharisees got involved. And then after questioning this man as to how he received his sight, that they excommunicated this former blind man, kicking him out of the synagogue because they didn't like his answer that Jesus was the one who healed him of his blindness and enabled him to see. And then after accusing the Pharisees of being spiritually blind, they come to Jesus, are we blind? And Jesus says, yeah, you're spiritually blind. And he says, you are blind because you are blind. You are still in your sins. Jesus makes this statement. Look at John 10, verses 1 and 2. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. Now the Pharisees consider themselves the shepherd. They were the shepherds of the people of Israel. Caring for them, feeding them, protecting them, pointing to them to the spiritual life in God. But instead, what we find from them is that they threaten people and intimidated people and harassed people. And because of the mistreatment of the former blind man and others like him, Jesus refers to the Pharisees as being robbers and thieves. Now, as Jesus describes himself then as the gate of the sheep, the people hearing these words would be very familiar to what he was talking about. I mean, in Christ's day, there were two ways to keep sheep. The first one was in the cities and in the villages. Now, usually there was a large corral, much like what you see in the photo here, where the shepherds would bring their flocks to secure them for the night. And again, it was a public pen, able to hold several flocks under the care of a watchman. And then the watchman would make sure that he watched the sheep and protected the sheep through the night until he was the guard of the gate, until the next day when the shepherds came and called their sheep out of the pen and back into the fields. But secondly, there was a shepherd would tend his sheep in the country the way he did. And this is a photo of an actual Eastern pen today. A shepherd would lead his sheep into a low-walled enclosure of piled rocks or brush, and leaving a small opening where the shepherd would stay through the night guarding his sheep. And I think Jesus may have both of these images in mind as he talks about himself as being the gate and being the shepherd. But what does it mean? What does it mean to us that Jesus is the gate for the sheep? Number one. Number one, Jesus is the gate of salvation. Say this with me. Jesus is the gate of salvation. Again, when evening comes, a shepherd that is out in the field with his sheep will prepare a sheepfold. It was more of a walled enclosure for the flock to lie down for the night, and he will lead them through this small opening, you know, make sure that they entered safely. And while the sheep then get settled, the shepherd then will lie across the opening through the night, literally becoming the gate, keeping the sheep safely in the fold and keeping thieves and predators out. And keeping with this metaphor, Jesus says then in verse 9, the first part of verse 9, he says, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, first of all, this is an exclusive declaration, okay? An exclusive declaration, if you're keeping notes. Jesus is the only gate. He's it. The only way that we could enter to become part of the flock of God. And the psalmist understood how wonderful it is to be part of the flock of God and have the Lord as his shepherd. In Psalm 100, verse 3, the psalmist says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And only through Jesus can we be saved from our sins and enter the sheepfold of God. Amen? Only through Christ can we be saved. I mean, standing before the Jewish council for healing a man who was crippled from birth, Peter tells them that it was by the power of the name of Jesus Christ that he healed this man in Acts chapter 4. And then he tells them in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And so Peter says, it's only by the name of Jesus. Jesus is it. There's no one else that we can turn to for salvation. There's no prophet. There's no pope. There's no preacher that can save us. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? Only Jesus can save us. But secondly, this statement that Jesus made is an inclusive invitation. It's not only an exclusive declaration, it is an inclusive invitation. Jesus said, whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever. Now, whoever includes anyone and everyone. Whoever. And when Jesus said whoever, the crowd had only to look at his handpicked disciples and understood that Jesus meant whoever. Because they were the strangest crew of misfits chosen to change the world that you could ever imagine. I mean, there was nothing about these men that were special. I mean, there was nothing about them that a Jewish rabbi would choose them to be his special disciples or his students. There was not a single scholar among them. I mean, they were just ordinary men with ordinary lives. And Jesus says, whoever. I mean, two of these brothers of Jesus' disciples, James and John, were known as the sons of thunder because of their short fused temper. Peter, the spokesman, was a reactionist whose words and actions often got him into trouble. There was also a tax collector. Can you imagine? A tax collector named Matthew in this group who was despised by the Jewish people who considered him a traitor because he worked for the hated Roman government. And then in that group was a man named Simon who was a Jewish zealot, who along with his fellow zealots would normally be conspiring against people like Matthew because he hated anybody who worked for the Roman government, as well as much as he hated the government itself. And so when Jesus says whoever, he meant whoever. The invitation to be saved, to go to heaven, is open to whoever enters the gate. No matter who you are, what you have done, you are invited. Amen? You are invited. But then secondly, Jesus says, what does it mean for him to be the gate? Jesus is the gate of safety. Say this with me. Jesus is the gate of safety. Now, Jesus does not save us and then leave us alone to fend for ourselves. I mean, he is our protector. And the phrase, will be saved, can also be translated, be kept safe. First of all, he will keep us safe from the thieves and robbers. Again, verse 8 says this. Jesus said, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Now, Jesus is not talking about the Old Testament prophets or John the Baptist or anyone else who came legitimately pointing to the way to God. He's referring to the Pharisees, the ones who kicked the blind man out of the synagogue. He's referring to the Pharisees and other Jewish leaders and anyone else who were trying to offer salvation through anyone or anything but Jesus, or trying to snatch people away from Jesus. Again, they are the ones who enter the sheep pen through the gate. They're the ones who just enter through the climbing over and sneaking in. They're not the ones who enter through the gate. And when someone, you know, enters the sheepfold through any way but the gate, you know that they are up to no good. They are there to disrupt. They are there to stir up trouble. And that's why Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew 7, verse 15. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They are ferocious wolves. Brothers and sisters, being part of the flock of God, the Church of Jesus Christ presents many dangers. Did you realize that? It presents many dangers. There are those out in the world who will try to destroy you and me. I mean, they will try to tempt us away from Christ using whatever means necessary to entice us to return to the world. They will try to hurt our witness for Jesus by lying and gossiping about us or misrepresenting something that we have said or done. They will try to discourage us, to get us to question our relationship with God and the love that He has for us. They are out to destroy us. They are the robbers and the thieves. And yet Jesus said in John 10, 27 to 28, He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus says no one can snatch them out of my hand. No matter what our enemies try to do, they cannot snatch us out of the hand of Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that we can't let go. It doesn't mean that we can't choose to leave Jesus and return to the world. But no one can force us against our will to leave the safety of the sheepfold. No one. Now, but secondly, Jesus goes on to say that he will keep us safe from the thief. Not only does he keep us safe from the thieves and the robbers, you know, the false prophets out there, but he will keep us safe from the thief. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now here I believe that Jesus is referring to the master thief. I believe that this is Satan himself, who is a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, John 8, verse 44. And Satan hates God with a passion. He hates God. And he hates and despises those who follow him. And knowing that he cannot defeat Almighty God, Satan has set his aim on you and me and every Christian. I mean, the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy, and will do anything, everything that he possibly can to bring us down, because he hates us with a passion. But Jesus, the Son of God, we got to understand this very thing. When we talk about Jesus says, I'm going to keep you safe, Jesus is the gate. We've got to remember that Jesus is the gate. Say that with me. Jesus is the gate. And he protects his flock and he keeps us safe. In fact, Romans 8 verse 31, Paul asked this question. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? God is on our side, brothers and sisters. He is for us. And since he is for us, I pity any foe that tries to snatch us from the hand of God, including Satan himself. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Everybody here this morning has experienced attacks from the devil. Am I right about that? And he attacks us in different ways. Could be through temptation. Maybe he's going to use people in our lives to attack us. Again, he tries to discourage us. He tries all that he can to bring us down. But we are still here worshiping and serving the Lord. No matter how much he's attacked us and what he has tried to do to destroy us, we are here this morning worshiping and serving the Lord. I mean, through Christ, we have the power to be more than conquerors through anything the devil tries to do to steal, kill, and destroy. God is on our side, and the devil cannot defeat us. Amen? The devil cannot defeat us. And so Jesus is the gate of safety. He is our protector. But thirdly, finally, Jesus is the gate of satisfaction. Say this with me. Jesus is the gate of satisfaction. In contrast to what the devil has come to do, steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the latter part of that verse, he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus has come so that we can have life here on earth, this fullness of life, or that we can have it in heaven. Jesus has come to give us life. And so first of all, we've got to understand that Jesus has come to give us a life of freedom. We are free because of Jesus. Only in Christ we can be free. Only in Christ. Jesus says in John 8 verse 36, he said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But Satan, the prince of this world, wants us to believe that what he has to offer through the world is a life of freedom. And that the world says, do your own thing. Live any way you want. Think only of yourself. Choose your own lifestyle. It's your body. Do with it what you want. You know, that's what the world teaches. And we may look at that and say, well, that sounds like freedom to me. But that's exactly what Satan wants us to believe. Paul said that Satan masquerades as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 4, 11, verse 14. And his ways look so appealing. I mean, that's why the majority are following his path. But Solomon reminds us in Proverbs 14, verse 12, he said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to what? To death. It looks right. It looks great. It looks appealing. It looks like it's going to give us freedom, but yet Solomon says it leads to death. And again, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Friends, I want you to know the devil never comes for our benefit. He has only come and only has evil intentions to destroy us. Now, God is certainly, in His sovereignty, can certainly take the evil that Satan uses against us and work good in our lives, Romans 8, verse 28. But that is not the devil's objective when he comes to destroy us or trying to destroy us. Satan never has our best interest in mind. He comes only to bring harm and destruction in our lives, and that's why Paul urges us to be aware of the devil's schemes, in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. And so Christ has come to give us what true freedom looks like. It's a freedom that we have in Jesus, and only in Jesus. But then secondly, Jesus has come to give us a life of fullness. A life of fullness. Unlike Satan, who has come to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus has come to give us a full life overflowing with God's blessings. And the word translated for full here means abundance, beyond measure, over and above. More than necessary, having a surplus. I mean, you name it, it just means that we have more life than we could possibly imagine. And in Christ, we have life, not just mere existence. And it infuriates Satan because he can't do anything to stop it. Satan has come to steal, to take, but Jesus has come to give. Satan has come to kill, but Jesus has come to provide eternal life. Satan has come to destroy, but Jesus has come to heal and restore. The life that Jesus describes is freely available to all, but we have to enter the gate. Amen? We have to enter the gate. And so the question I want you to consider today is this: are you enjoying the fullness of God? Are you enjoying the fullness of God, the fullness of life? When Jesus says that I am the gate for the sheep, I mean, he wants us to realize that, man, I am here for you. You enter me and you're going to be saved, but you have to, only through me can you be saved. That in me that I will protect you and serve you and give you all that we could possibly imagine. I have come to give you life so that you can live it to the full. That's what Christ has come to do for us, so that we can live life to the full. But yet we let so many things in this world to take that from us, don't we? And that's exactly what Satan does. He wants to take that from us. He doesn't want us to enjoy the fullness of life that he has come to give us, that God has come to give us. And so he will do everything in his power to take that from us, to rob us of that joy, to rob us of all that God has gotten for given to us. But yet Jesus Christ said, but if you enter this gate, I'm going to make sure you're going to be okay. I'm going to protect you and save you through whatever it is Satan tries to destroy you. We're singing an invitation song, and during this invitation song is an opportunity for you, once again, just kind of look at your life, hello, sister. Just look deep within your soul and just ask the question, you know, why, do I have the fullness of life? Do I have what God has come to give me? And if it's not there, we want to talk to you about that. We want to pray with you and strengthen you. Because I know what Satan does. I know what he does. I mean, he will use heartache and problems and difficulties and hardships to try and destroy us. But God says, I'm here. I'm here for you. I've never left you. I'm always here. I'm always here. And in the gate, we can come in for safety and we can go out and enjoy the green pastures that God has set for us. If we're here today, if we can help you, pray for you, strengthen you in any way, we want you to come as together we stand and we sing.